Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 81. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the 30th anniversary of the Mac, the GoCatch app and how it's trying to reduce alcohol-fueled violence. And we'll also look at the latest tech trends that have become more focused on the user. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the voice bridge that can connect your landline to your smartphone. We're going to also talk about Calibri, the world's first connected toothbrush, and Kogan's new high-definition mini tablet for under $200. And in this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we'll tell you how you can tell if the battery in your drawer still has charge or is gone. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking right now. Well, it's 30 years since the introduction of Apple's famous Macintosh. Back in January 1984, the Apple co-founder, then CEO as well, Steve Jobs, unveiled this revolutionary new personal computer. It was the Mac. And to herald its release, that iconic TV commercial that was aired during that year's Super Bowl really was as much of a talking point as the computer itself. Now, that ad was actually directed by Ridley Scott, and it was aired during the Super Bowl, so shortly after the actual release. And the ad was titled 1984, and that's based on George Orwell's novel. And in that ad, it shows all these people watching up at the big screen, supposedly Big Brother. That's where it comes from, the 1984 George Orwell novel, showing all these drone-like people just sort of sitting, all wearing the same clothes, all in drab grey colours, looking up at the screen. And in comes a woman running in a white singlet and red shorts and bearing a sledgehammer. And she's running closer and closer to the screen, chased by security guards, until eventually she lets fly with the sledgehammer and it smashes the screen and changes the world. In a similar way, the Mac back in 1984 kind of did the same thing for personal computing. It actually heralded the birth of the personal computer. And now, 30 years later, it has come such a long way. That original Mac was powered by a Motorola processor, and it had 64 kilobits of RAM. That's not megabytes, gigabytes, that's kilobits of RAM. And it had a black and white screen with a 256 by 256 resolution. And at the time, it was cutting edge. And it was the computer that introduced users to graphical user interface, GUI, even had a mouse. So this was quite a departure from the hobby kits and computers that were in existence at the time. Apple were competing mainly with drop-down menus and selections, different fonts. It really empowered so many users. Now, to celebrate, Apple have actually created a tribute on its US website. It shows you the original Mac right next to the very latest Mac. It is quite a difference between that first product and the very latest one. And it's also created a timeline that shows all the different creative users over the years and what they've been able to accomplish and achieve with the power of the Mac over the years. It also allows visitors to the site to record, to fill in a little questionnaire about their first Mac and what they were using it for. And then you can actually see the results displayed on the site. The different percentages of people who took up various Macs are all displayed there quite clearly. It's very interesting actually to see the concentration of people, what their first Mac actually was. For me personally, it was the LC2 back in 1993. That was my first step into the Mac world, and I've now today have the latest 27-inch thin version, the very latest iMac. So I've stuck with the Mac family all of that time. I've had several Macs in those. Well, it's now 21 years since that my very first Mac purchase. But yeah, a very interesting read on Tech Guide. I've actually put that famous commercial. I've actually put the video of Steve Jobs' keynote introducing the very first Apple Mac back in 1984. So some interesting viewing there if you want to take a look at that. It's 30 years ago. Can you believe it? 30 years. Imagine what the next 30 years will bring. You want to take a look at those videos, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, there's been a lot of talk lately in the news. It's actually been dominating the headlines, all of these issues with alcohol-fueled violence. This follows the death of two young guys up at King's Cross, Thomas Kelly, and more recently another young guy, an 18-year-old, on New Year's Eve. I'm not going to say king hit, because that's kind of that phrase has been kind of crossed out in out of the vernacular at the moment. He was coward punched up at the cross, and yeah, this has obviously caused a lot of reaction in the community. The young gentleman on New Year's Eve, unfortunately, he passed away. His life support system was turned off after 11 days, and his family has really taken up the fight and wants to sort of make a change in our culture, the change in the way we consume our alcohol, the way we act towards each other. And in the meantime, the state government has actually come up with some various changes to the times where nightclubs can serve alcohol, how late they can stay open. And this will apply generally in those trouble spots around King's Cross, the CBD, the Rocks, George Street, mainly those areas of Sydney here in New South Wales. Well, GoCatch has come along, and this is a short little description of GoCatch. It's a taxi app. So what it does, it's a free app for Android or iOS, and it allows you to see what taxis are in your area. It allows you to directly call the drivers, and then once that booking is made, you can actually see on your screen where that taxi is and watch it in real time as it makes its way to you. Now, the founders of the GoCatch app have decided to launch an initiative. They started this last Friday, January the 24th, and this initiative is to encourage drivers between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. to pick up passengers in these areas that sometimes they would normally avoid. And what they're doing, the GoCatch founders are offering cabbies up to an extra $20 between those hours of 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. as a bonus for picking up passengers in these trouble areas. Now, the whole idea behind this is to give people in these who've been attending these nightclubs, maybe been drinking, need transport home. It will create a lot more cabs to come to that area and hopefully ferry these people home safely. Now, the problem is that all these people looking for transport, some people have had a bit too much to drink, trouble ensues, and in the cases that we've seen the last few months and years, the coward punch and the unfortunate outcome is a person in hospital fighting for their life. Well, GoCatch is trying to help stem the problem. They're trying to give people an alternative to encourage cabbies to get to these areas and help ferry these people home. Ferry all these nightclub goers to help make it easier, to help people disperse from those areas just so there's no trouble. What they've done too, they've even willing to share the results. They're going to run this initiative for 4 weeks. They're going to share the results with the state government. So the New South Wales government in 4 weeks are going to get a full full wrap up, full coverage of what happened during this initiative, if it was successful, with the view to hopefully encouraging the government to maybe roll out this incentive in other parts of the state and possibly in other parts of the country. So stay tuned to that. If you're using Go Catch, the app, a lot of people, it's a very popular app. It's really changed the way we can book our cabs. No more calling an automated dialing system. Now you can actually see the cabs in your area and watch them as they approach. So Go Catch, the two founders, Ned and Andrew, they've really sort of, I think, yeah, hats off to them for trying something like this to help help with this problem. Hopefully it'll be a success, but they're going to report back in about 4 weeks' time and also report back to the New South Wales government about those results. If you want to read more about that, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, since we've been back from the Consumer Electronics Show, the massive trade show that we attended back in the start of January in Las Vegas, we've had a chance to actually sit back and really sort of look at the main trends that came out of CES, the main themes, kind of the direction that technology is traveling. And I took the time to write a blog about it on Tech Guide and made a few observations about the technology and the result I got, the conclusion that I've drawn is the fact that the latest technology, things like the curved screens, curved smartphones, wearable devices, I think that the companies now have finally realized that it's now time to fit the devices to us, literally, to make them more human-centric. So rather than creating a product that the user has to fit into, now they're creating products that fits the user. Let's start off with the curved TV. That's a really good example of how they're literally changing the shape of technology to suit our lives, to even suit our features. Our eyeballs are curved. Our eyeballs aren't straight and flat. Neither are our faces and our hands. So the TVs adopting this curved shape is really sort of showing the fact that, well, you know, we're going to fit more to you, more to your lifestyle, and as a result, it's creating that more immersive effect and offering us a better viewing experience. LG also had their curved smartphone, the G Flex, which we've discussed on the show previously. It too has a slight curved shape, and that comes in handy because you think of the shape of when we're making a call, that shape between our ear and our mouth is actually a curve. It's not a straight line. Our hands that we hold our devices in aren't flat and straight. They're also curved. So it does literally fit into our hands and around our face, even in our back pocket. It fits the shape of our back pocket so that if we're carrying our phones around there, it just is another example of devices evolving to fit the user. Another popular product category at CES was obviously wearable technology. That's an industry that's estimated to go from a $3 billion industry in 2013 to a $42 billion industry in the next 3 to 5 years. That's stats from Credit Suisse. So that's a really interesting stat to shows that interest in that area of technology is most certainly going to increase. Now, wearable technology has been around for a little while. We've had activity trackers and various things that we wear on our person, smartwatches, things like that, headphones that can do various things as well. But it is another example of how these devices are designed to enhance other products. In the case of a smartwatch, it can give you a closer look at your smartphone. So it pushes these notifications. This data is now easier to access. But another thing that it helps us to do is to collect data about ourselves. Now, having this wearable technology is now that we can see the data that we are creating. So our activities, we can monitor them in real time. So collecting data about ourselves and our habits, our sleep, our activities, our steps is now easier than ever. And what that's designed to do is you provide the information that allows us then to act. If we see this data, data that we need to maybe improve our activities, you know, we need to get into shape. We can see from the data that's now being collected so easily what direction we need to move into. So I think that this is, it's got exciting possibilities here, because you think of the types of technology, and there were other products at CES that were designed to monitor more closely your health rather than just your heart rate like you would an activity tracker, your steps. There were other devices that can monitor your heart rate, your blood oxygen level, your respiration rate. So it's kind of more in the medical field where these are also going to help us. So we're probably going to be able to monitor ourselves better than ever and stay on top of possible health issues, which moving into the future, any way we can reduce the strain on our health system, that can only be a positive thing. There was one other product that I quite liked, was the LG Heart Rate headphones. Now, these from outwardly, these look exactly like a pair of headphones you'd normally wear on a run, but there was one major difference. These can take your heart rate. Now, because they're sitting inside your ear, they can actually measure the inner blood flow while they're sitting inside your ear, which then equates to your heart rate. So that's just yet another example of a device that's going to be, that is literally on our body, that we're wearing them like we would a regular pair of headphones, providing this added information that we can then use how we see fit. There was a survey conducted by Rackspace, that cloud-based storage company, among some of their US users of wearable technology, and the results were really surprising. 47% said they felt more intelligent after having a wearable device. 61% said they felt more informed. I think that we're onto something. You want to read more about my blog? That blog is on techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. They've got a new product called Push to TV that allows you to transfer wirelessly the content from your smartphone to the best screen in the house, your smart TV. So if you want to take all those photos, videos, music, apps, or any website that you're looking from your small screen on your smartphone onto the big screen, well, you can do that with the Netgear PTV 3000 Push to TV wireless display adapter. Push to TV will mirror whatever is displayed on your Intel WideEye or Miracast supported smartphone. And there are plenty in the market at the moment. The latest Samsung, LG, HTC devices can all support this technology. And you can even use it, you can send information from your tablet or a laptop screen straight to your HD TV as well using Push to TV. So now you can browse the internet, play your favorite online videos, enjoy a slideshow of your photos wirelessly on your TV without having to connect your mobile device to the TV with any sort of cable. Push Your TV supports up to 1080p HD and 5.1 surround sound for an awesome home entertainment experience. So if you want to see more, check out Netgear's Push Your TV wireless display adapter at netgear.com.au/push-to-TV.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Righto, let's kick off the Tech Guide reviews with a product I saw at CES. This is called the Voice Bridge. Now, this is from a company called Swiss Voice, which have made other products like phone adapters and Bluetooth phone devices that help you connect mobiles to landlines. Well, in this case, VoiceBridge literally does that. The VoiceBridge is actually a small black and white box with two connections. One connection goes into your phone line. The second connection goes into your Wi-Fi router. Now, the idea behind VoiceBridge, as its name suggests, is trying to bridge the gap between your current landline, and there are many of us that still have landlines, including myself, to your smartphone. So if you are juggling a landline, you might be at home, or you may have an office landline, as well as mobile devices, the VoiceBridge can bring them together. Now, what this does now, if you get a call on your landline, it will allow you to answer it on your smartphone. So no need to buy landlines or cordless phones with multiple handsets. You can just buy one, and if you've got a voice bridge, any smartphone or tablet in your home will allow you to answer that call. That's a really interesting feature. So it doesn't only push that call to smartphones that have the voice bridge app on board, you can also answer your calls on a tablet. So that's really handy. So as I said, all those other devices need to do once the VoiceBridge is installed is to download the VoiceBridge app on their device. Another added feature is that it also syncs with your contact lists on your various mobile devices. So if a landline call is coming in from someone that's on your mobile contact list, it will then state that like caller ID, it will tell you who's calling on the landline. Similarly, too, if you miss a call on your landline, it's very hard to tell if you've missed that call unless they leave a message on your answering machine. Well, now with VoiceBridge, you can see a missed call as you would if someone had called your mobile. So now you can keep an even closer track on the calls you're receiving through your landline just as easily as you can on your smartphone. The VoiceBridge works with existing DECT telephones. No need to create any type of account. There's no more money to pay. And no Wi-Fi pairing either is required. Because you connect this to your router, as long as all the smartphones are on the same network as the router, it will be detected. So there's no need to pair every device to your network again because they're already connected. The VoiceBridge device will be available from March, and the app for VoiceBridge will be available to download for iOS and Android devices. Now, it's going to be priced from $79 US and can be ordered from the SwissVoice.net website. VoiceBridge from SwissVoice coming in March. US dollars, $79. And if you want to check out the photo, what it looks like, and also the screen of the app, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, we've spoken about all kinds of connected devices on Tech Guide, and we've heard of a lot of things, connected light bulbs and connected headphones and connected everything, speakers. Well, the first connected toothbrush is now a reality, and it's from a company called Colibri. That's spelled K-O-L-I-B-R-E-E. Colibri is how I'm going to pronounce it, and it is the world's first connected electric toothbrush. Now, why would you want to connect your electric toothbrush, I hear you asking? Well, there are several reasons why you want to do that. Well, first of all, brushing is a very important habit. I'm sure any parent out there has told their children, you have to brush your teeth, you need to brush after every meal, three times a day, whatever. It is a very good habit to get into, because down the track, you're going to thank yourself for doing that, because you're going to have good teeth, you're going to save yourself a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of strife if you've got good teeth. So what Colibri does is to try to, because it's a connected product, tries to turn that boring activity, and now let's face it, a lot of kids and a lot of adults for that matter, find brushing their teeth a chore. What Colibri does is to encourage brushing, to allow you to monitor how well you brush every time. So because it's connected wirelessly to a smartphone app, it can record how long you've been brushing, how often you brush during the day, the coverage that you're giving your teeth inside. So it can tell if it's got to your back teeth, behind your front teeth, all over. So it will then plot all that information on the smartphone app, the companion app for the Colibri toothbrush, which, by the way, connects with Bluetooth to your smartphone. So it doesn't need to connect to your Wi-Fi network. It connects to Bluetooth. There'll be a free iOS and Android app as well. So the data that's gathered is very useful. So it's very hard to improve something if you don't have data to study in the first place. We touched on that in the activity track as well. This gives you a starting point to tell you how long, how often, and how well you're brushing your teeth. Now, families could take up the Colibri and have multiple toothbrushes on the one app. So say parents and their kids can maybe set challenges to say, right, who's going to brush the longest, who's going to brush more often. So it makes it kind of fun, a fun activity for the kids, gives them some encouragement, motivates them to brush perhaps a little bit more often than they do. So you can see the level of your oral hygiene and then set these goals to maintain or improve your brushing habits. This was a very popular device at CES. I think it's yet another connected device, of course, but just in the, it's the, from the What Will They Think of Next department and the connected toothbrush. When you listen to all those facts and the motivation behind it, it kind of makes sense. I don't mind this product at all. Calibri is going to be released in the second half of 2014. No price estimated or released at this point. I'd say that's going to be closer to the launch date in the second half of 2014. You're listening to Tech Guide. Well, Kogan is in the habit of releasing products at very attractive prices, and he did so during CES. He actually released a sub-$1,000 ultra-high-definition 55-inch LED TV. So $999 for a Ultra HD TV is pretty good value. Well, he's at it again. Ruslan Kogan, who's the CEO of Kogan.com, one of the biggest Australian online retailers. Latest product they've released is a quad-core 7.85-inch high-definition Android tablet with 3G connectivity, and you get all of that for under $200, $199 to be precise. Now, there's a quad-core 1.2 gigahertz processor on board, and it's running Android 4.2 Jelly Bean operating system. It has a 7.85-inch screen, which is, I think, very close to the size of an iPad mini. So it's got an IPS screen, which is short for in-plane switching, so the screen is pretty good at all angles. It's got a high definition resolution of 1024 by 768. Under the hood, there's a gig of RAM, 8 gig of internal memory, but it does have a micro SD card slot, so you can expand that memory capacity by up to another 32 gigabytes. On the back, there's an 8 megapixel camera, a 5 megapixel front camera, and on the connectivity side, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and of course 3G. So if you want to stay connected anywhere, you can buy a 3G SIM with data so that you can access the network if you're away from Wi-Fi networks. Device is a centimeter thick, weighs 398 grams. It's available for order today, so delivery, if you order today, you'd probably get a delivery in 2 to 3 weeks. The Kogan Agora HD Mini. Now, looking on paper, it looks a decent device, and it's for anyone who's maybe buying their first tablet, maybe want to buy their child a tablet, or buy a second tablet. The Kogan certainly measures up in terms of the specs, and you know, it's got decent resolution. All those features combined at a pretty attractive price. $199 is not a bad price to pay. Kogan allows these cheaper prices because he ships straight from the factory to you. Doesn't have a storefront, doesn't have a bricks and mortar store with staff. He has lower overheads, and that's why he can deliver prices that are much, much lower than his competitors. If you want to check it out, the Kogan Agora HD Mini 3G tablet for $199. You can check that out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Let's talk batteries in the Tech Guide Help Desk. I did a segment on Wake Up on Channel 10. For those who haven't realised, I'm their tech presenter, the gadget presenter on the Wake Up show on Channel 10. Some early starts for me over there, but it's a lot of fun. My last segment was all about batteries, mainly smartphone batteries, but at the very end of the segment was a very interesting little tip that I offered to the viewers on how to tell if your regular batteries, like your AA's, AAA batteries, still have a charge on board. It's often you pull a battery out of the drawer and you ask yourself, is this battery still any good? And so rather than having to go to the trouble of putting it in a device and seeing if it still works, there is a very simple test you can perform that will allow you straight away to tell if the battery is good or if it's the charge has been used up. And that test is simply this. You grab the battery and hold up the flat end above a table. say, hold it a couple of centimeters above the table, drop it on its end, on its flat end, and if it hits the desk without a bounce, that means that it's still good. If the battery has been used or is nearly out of charge, if you perform that same test, it's not going to just thump onto the desk and sit there. It's actually going to bounce around several times before falling over. Reason for that is because the battery's material changes in density. The density changes once the charge runs out, so it loses its density. In other words, it gets lighter once you use up the charge. The heavier battery, which has got most of the charge on board, once you drop it on its side, it will sit there and almost just plant itself on the desk without bouncing at all. If it's been used up, the battery's going to bounce several times before falling over. So it's very, very easy to tell the difference. If you want to check out my, I've done a video, well, the actual segment video. You can see that on my Tech Guide Facebook page, or on the Channel 10, 10play.com.au site as well. I've also done if you follow me on Twitter, I actually did a Voice Bite, which is my own app. I recorded a 15-second audio recording and posted a photo of that tech tip on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, that's at Stephen Fennec, and Stephen spelt with a PH if you want to follow me. So that's a very handy test. If you've got a whole drawer full of batteries and you don't know what's good, what's bad, especially if you're a parent with kids, they need stuff for their toys or you need stuff for your remote control, that is a very good test to perform. You can do it in a couple of seconds and you know straight away whether you've got a good battery or a dud. And that brings us to the end of our show for another week. Be sure to head over to techguide.com.au if you want to read more about anything we've talked about on the show today. You can also get in touch by email at info@techguide.com.au, and you can send us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum. A special thanks too to our sponsors Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for listening. It's been terrific having your company. We look forward to you tuning in again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.